if you're a Christian and you're a teacher or you're a doctor or you're work as a refuse collector, or you know, we think actually it'd be great if we had opportunities. So now how do we get into those places? Well, actually, as Christians, you are those
places. Are. Yeah, we are.
And as we acknowledge ourselves as disciples of Jesus Christ,
that's
I
helpful.
Don't stop being a disciple. Okay.
Hello and welcome to Independence, the FIEC podcast. My name is Adrian Reynolds, head of National Ministries for the FIEC, and I'm here with Julian Gadsby, who's from LICC, the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity.
Hello.
Hello, Julian. Thanks for coming back.
Thank you.
Nice to have you with us. We've done a podcast already. We talked about theology of work. Mm-hmm. And if you've not listened to that, do go back and listen to it, kind of building on that. We're thinking today really a bit more about how do we help church leaders and pastor people in church well. And I was going to say people who are in work, but I now know, listening to the first episode, I'm not to say that. Because actually everyone pretty much is working in church in some capacity.
Absolutely, in some
Sorry, not
capacity.
Working in church. Everybody in church is working in some way, in different ways, at different levels. Some people will be paid, some people won't be. And some people will be doing more than others, especially because of capacity, perhaps an age and stage and that kind of thing. But everybody is called to work. It's a higher calling, understand that. But I guess we want to be helping people in our churches think well about work. And I don't think, I mean, you've been a pastor, I've been a pastor. Mm. I don't think we're great at doing that. I think we've drunk deeply at the well of worldliness.
Yeah.
And so here's a good example. I was telling you about this just before we went on air, about a guy when I was working in business, who was in an American company that I worked for. He was a very steady Eddie. Did the same job, had done the same job for years, was close to, you know, a few years off retirement. But the remuneration system in the company penalized him because he didn't want to be promoted. Mm. And I guess as a pastor, I'm often celebrating in my heart. People say, oh, I got a new job, paid a bit more, you know, got a promotion at work. And I'm thinking, great, great, great news. Mm. And I'm thinking probably in quite a worldly way. So I need to do a bit of recalibrating myself, but I also want to be able to help people in church life. So kick us off. How can I be a help? How can I be a pastor, a shepherd to the flock when it comes to work?
I think one of the ways we can do that is by recognizing that discipleship, which is a huge issue, is something that doesn't just happen in church, but actually happens wherever we are.
Okay, just define some terms here for me. What do you mean by discipleship?
So discipleship is following Jesus. I mean, okay. Following Jesus, being called by Jesus to be his apprentice. I mean, John Mark Comer's description of a disciple as an apprentice to Jesus.
Yeah, like that.
And I think that if we see that wherever we are, that we are still a disciple, that discipleship happens wherever we are.
Okay.
It enables us as pastors, I think, to recognize that discipleship doesn't just happen in church. But actually, it's wherever we are, there is an opportunity to grow as disciples and to serve as disciples of Jesus Christ. We don't have an off button.
So if I'm interested in the welfare and the flourishing of the flock, which I am, I'm called to do that as part of my work as a pastor, I need to be interested in helping people in the church flourish in every area of life.
Absolutely.
Right? Not just church areas, but
absolutely.
Every area.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so recognizing, as we said in a previous podcast, about the inherent dignity of work, and actually people made in the image of God, God is the one who, he works in creation, and he is the one who gives us work to do. And therefore see, and I think as pastors, actually recognizing that what people do in their lives, whether that's paid work, whether that's voluntary, whether that's at home or wherever that is, that actually that's worthwhile, and that's a place of dignity, a place that they can serve God and love and serve other people.
Okay. Okay.
I think it's even just this, you know, to start off is recognizing that.
And some recalibrating as well, because I guess people will have odd views of work, won't they? And we talked about a couple of extremes, perhaps. You know, someone in the church, let's call him Bob, might think about, you know, I'm going to work just so that I can earn money, so that I can support mission, I can tithe to the church, pay for my time. You know, it's a means to an end. Maybe Brenda, I don't think we've got anybody in our church called Bob or Brenda, so I think we're safe ground. Brenda sees work as her mission field.
Yeah.
Right? So she's her little cubbyhole where she works, she's got a text on the wall so that people will ask her about Christian. Yeah. You know, she wears a fish in her lapel. She's got a T-shirt which she wears on dress down days, which says, "Ask me about Jesus." Mm. And she's got a Bible open on her desk. She's hoping that actually, you know, she's going to work just so she can share the gospel. That's her thought. Yeah. And both of those have got some truth in them, right?
Absolutely.
They're not entirely erroneous, but they're not what we think about work.
Not the entirety of it, though. And I think it's recognizing that if my work has value and I can serve other people, my colleagues, customers, whoever it is, I can serve those people, then the way that I do that, the way I can demonstrate a Christ-like character and do work that blesses and actually does some, is actually of good values, good work.
Right. So what does Bob need to hear specifically?
Well, I think probably he needs to hear that his work matters.
Right.
Okay. I think he needs to hear that actually.
So it's more than a means to an end.
More than a means to an end. What he does matters.
And is that that's true, Bob, brother, whatever you do.
Absolutely.
So you're a refuse collector, you're a doctor.
Absolutely.
And he's thinking, well, if I was a doctor, of course, I can see that would be some value in that, but I'm a refuse collector. No, actually, you're blessing people. Yeah, you're helping them with great dignity.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the danger is that if we're in areas in churches where we have a lot of people who are in quite high profile or highly paid jobs, that can make us, as pastors, feel much more successful than if you're working with people who are if you're in an area
That's interesting.
So you actually think, well, actually, because all the value that they're giving me, I can't then not be able to tithe as much because they're not earning as much.
Right,
but actually, therefore, am I saying, well, actually, really would be great if we got some more people who earn some more money into the church.
So there becomes a status about that.
It becomes
almost
a status as opposed to seeing those palliative pastors, that group of people who that the world may not necessarily see their work as terribly important. But you remove their work from the world and you see what happens.
Okay. So this is interesting. I didn't think we'd go here, but actually it is interesting that, so if I'm going to pastor people in the church, well, in all areas of life, including work, there's a bit of heart searching needs to go on first, actually in my own heart.
Absolutely.
Because there's worldliness there.
Yeah.
There are worldly views of work.
Yeah.
Secretly, I'm thinking, it's not just that actually a doctor who's earning 100 grand, you know, is going to tithe 10,000 to the church. Actually, I'm thinking, you know, wouldn't it be great if people come in and they see you've got GPs here? I mean, it feels like I'm actually, if I'm being honest about it, I'm kind of, you know, I'm getting into James territory on time, you know, welcoming the rich. And so there's actually a bit of heart searching.
Absolutely. And I'm ministered in churches where we had a real mixture. We had people who were farmers. We had people who worked in retail, but we also had people who were, judges and lawyers and business leaders. We had all of those. And it's very easy to think that and to treat some differently to others and think actually because of your status, actually you are more important than others. And I think I think it's a constant danger.
It's invidious as well.
It is.
So I'm doing an evangelistic service. Oh, what high profile person could I interview at the front that will, you know, impress people? Yeah.
And I think we do that in life, don't we? We make kind of great things of footballers or entertainers or people who are famous Christians. And we say, actually, we want to demonstrate, and actually most of the time we can't really connect with those people.
Yeah, yeah,
but actually we don't celebrate the people who have, less high profile jobs, shall we say, but actually
perhaps they're unpaid, they're doing a caring job, caring for elderly relatives or something.
Absolutely. And I think the danger is as well is that we see that if those people are in jobs which take them out of church life, for example, they're not able to come to a Bible study or to a prayer meeting, we somehow think actually that they're somehow failing as Christians, as a congregation, they're not quite reaching the standards are because they haven't.
So that's interesting, isn't it? So again, this comes back to self-examination, doesn't it? Because we say, and we would understand this as leaders, don't believe in the sacred secular divide. Of course, I don't believe in that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm very high view of work and all the rest of it. But what do you mean you can't come to the midweek Bible study because you're, you're caring for a family or you're putting the kids to bed and it's not the right timing? What do you mean? You know, and actually we do start creating that sacred secular divide. Without realizing it. Is that a fair assessment?
It is. And it's not to say that the home group or the prayer meeting or that even being in church on a Sunday morning or Sunday evening.
They're not unimportant.
No. And nobody should ever hear that those things are not important. they're vital in so many ways to, but actually if we locate discipleship simply in those terms, then actually what we're doing is we're saying that unless you can be part of those things, you're not going to grow as a disciple. You're not going to be serving, you're not going to be contributing, as opposed to, are we actually serving them? And I think the dangers, I found this so many times as a pastor, as a minister, when when people pray for you, and people, some of the language that people use is actually, we want to pray for Jules so that we can help him in his ministry.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the danger is that are we actually helping and equipping people for their ministry? And if we see work and the opportunities that we have to serve God in the places that we find ourselves each and every day, you know, if you're working a full-time 40 hours a week, 50 hours, or however many hours you're working, if we see that actually that's not really very important, what's more important is this, then we actually create that secular divide actually God is much more interested in this than he is in the place that you spend the majority of your time.
So actually, we've got to be careful in language. We've got to be careful language how we express important. Things. Yeah. You know, even just throwaway comments we might make.
Absolutely. And culture stuff. is largely expressed through language, you know, through our actions and through our artifacts, the things that we find we celebrate are important. Yeah. That's part of our culture. And language is one of those things, and how we use particular words like mission or ministry or vocation, all those kind of things.
Calling,
absolutely. Yeah. And so, this is my... We locate calling, for example, only in a very narrow way, then what we're suggesting is actually only certain people have a calling and nobody else does. And I think that's a really quite difficult territory. So,
someone in church is interested in full-time ministry.
Yeah.
And we talk about that at a prayer meeting. Maybe, because we're having to fund it and so we're making a contribution towards it, but we send them off. We have a sending service and we rejoice that we've raised someone up and sent them out. Someone else goes through, they go through university perhaps. They do a PGCE and they stick around in church and say, I'm going to be a physics teacher. We all the time we are actually creating a narrative, aren't we?
We are, and enabling people to see that their gifts and abilities are not reserved for what happens on a Sunday morning.
Right, okay.
But actually are God-given for their place in his
kingdom. And actually
work.
For Bob, ultimately it's crushing, isn't it? It's crushing to think, if actually work doesn't mean anything apart from a means to an end to make money, it could be quite crushing to get to the end of life and think, what was the purpose of all of that?
I mean, when I worked in the bank, one of the things that
I've, by the way, determined not to be rude about bankers in this episode.
That's so a really good thing. I'm pleased to hear that.
Stop me if I'm rude about investment bankers, okay?
But I worked in an investment bank. I wasn't an investment banker. And I'm just to make very clear.
You mentioned
I was very,
that.
Very low
you're,
level.
You're very, very clear about that. Very I have low, got that.
I don't want people to think that I was higher than I actually was. But I remember thinking actually that this really wasn't very important. I couldn't see how on earth, helping others make money was of any eternal import at all. What I really wanted to do was go and serve God.
Yeah.
And so
that's got to be better, hasn't it?
Absolutely.
Got to be better.
What that ended up doing, though, is creating this sense in my own mind that actually it's okay for other people who don't have the call and don't have that to go and do something. And I remember when people at work who weren't Christians who would say, we're so pleased for you, that you're going off and doing something that you really want to do, or you're following your dream, or you're doing something that's really worthwhile, and thinking actually, it's really worthwhile. And under no circumstances should we say that gospel, kind of pastoring, teaching, preaching, leading churches is any way not valuable. That's not where we're going to go at all.
We're not minimizing it.
We're not minimizing it at all. But what we want to do is maximize the work of God's people in the world is valuable.
And Bob needs to hear about that.
And he needs to hear that.
And when he's in a small group, he needs to be asking other people for prayer help.
Absolutely. And it's one of the things that I think as pastors we can do is kind of make those connections. So you mentioned earlier about the this time tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which is saying that we really advocate, which is this idea of inner service, enabling, asking three questions. You know, where are you going to be tomorrow morning? Where are you going to be tomorrow? What are you going to be doing there? Yeah. And how can we pray for you?
Okay.
And recognizing that those places have of importance are important. Those places that God is at work.
Yeah.
Because
his
people are there.
Yeah.
And if we see the, the places that people are working or the environment they're in as an opportunity for mission, not in the sense of just kind of overt mission.
Brenda,
work,
we'll come back to Brenda in a moment. Yeah,
but actually as a place where mission takes place. So, for example, if you had a congregation member who decided they wanted to do overseas mission, and they felt God was leading to them that. Absolutely brilliant that they want to do that. And so they work out, okay, what are they going to be doing? Well, actually, they're going to go overseas. They're going to immerse themselves in the culture. They're going to go and find a job in a school or a bank or on a farm. They're going to go out there and they're going to earn some money. And whilst they're there, they're going to find opportunities to share the gospel with Jesus. We would say, fantastic, go with our blessing. We're going to commission you and go and do that.
Yep.
Forgetting that, If you just look behind you, you actually see there's a whole ton of people in your church who are doing precisely that in the very places that they're now working and earning a living. But actually, that is a mission.
So even in when you do your little this time tomorrow, if that's what you plan to do, even in the way that you prayed for that person at the end, you would communicate.
Yeah.
Well, you could communicate positively some of those truths, but equally, you could say, oh, well, that's lovely, da, 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 and you could say a prayer, actually, which would completely undermine.
Absolutely. And praying publicly for people in whatever sphere, kind of whatever kind of employment or kind of work sphere they have, whether it's voluntary, whether that's at home, whether that's paid, just acknowledging that in prayers actually is a really powerful way of saying, we'll hear when we listen to you. We want to know how can we pray for you and the opportunities that you have. If you're a Christian and you're a teacher or you're a doctor or you're work as a refuse collector, or we think actually it'd be great if we had opportunities to. Now, how do we get into those places? Well, actually, as Christians, you are those.
We
places.
Are. Yeah, we are.
And as we acknowledge ourselves as disciples of Jesus Christ.
That's
I
helpful.
Don't stop being a disciple.
Okay. Cool. We'll come back to Brenda in just a moment. Just a little left field question. What about people in full-time education?
Yeah.
Is that work? So I'm thinking, I'm not thinking about 4 or 5 year olds necessarily, but I'm thinking about a 17-year-old who's following Jesus.
Yeah.
She's doing a first year of her A-levels. Should we think about that as work as well?
Yeah, I think
so. Or is
that
different?
I think if we see it, studying, I think my issue, I think, is that sometimes we think of work as something that by its definition has to be onerous, has to be something I'm not enjoying.
Okay.
Or something.
That's my experience. Yeah, I'm 54. That's my experience.
But it's something I want to not do so I can do more interesting things.
Okay, yeah.
And the thing is studying, actually, what am I doing? I'm working on bettering my mind and providing an opportunity for me to learn so that I can actually do something with that qualification, for example, or whatever that is, then we're actually doing something which can bless others. Bless ourselves, bless us, but actually bless and serve other people.
The blessing might be delayed, presumably, just in terms of...
Yes, it is. But also seeing that your sphere, if you're a student, that the place that you are is still a place where God is called you in that broad sense of that, if I'm a student,
could transform parenting. And I mean, maybe we ought to talk about parenting. We're not going to talk about parenting now, but another time we ought to talk about parenting in this context.
Absolutely.
School is not just a burden that you have to go through before you can get to the real part of life.
Absolutely.
Actually, there's something there which has intrinsic value of itself.
And I think actually I was always remember a conversation I had with a young woman in our church who had, I think she either had 3 children at that time or 4 children. I can't remember exactly the moment of the conversation. And she was saying to me, I'm really sorry that I'd love to be able to do more in the church. I'd love to be able to be at the Bible studies or come to the prayer meetings. I do more. I used to do more before I was a parent. I just don't have the time to do it. And I had to stop and say, what you are doing is your ministry. You know, what you're doing is important. This, you know, bring it, not even, you know, kind of just being a parent and actually shaping a child's life actually by being a good parent and being for them for that is actually God's work.
Isn't it? It's even a bit more than that, isn't it? In the sense that I think it would be a significant step in church life if we were to treat people in that, in those circumstances more positively. But actually, we need to be able to go a bit further and say, how can we serve you in that work you've been called
to?
And that's moving it on an extra stage, but that's reflecting that this is a high calling.
Absolutely.
And it is work that's been given to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, okay. Let's talk about Brenda, otherwise we're going to run out of time. So Brenda, remember, is my work missionary.
Yeah.
She loves work because she thinks of all the non-Christians she meets. It's basically the main place she meets non-Christians. And so she does the job. She's chosen her job because it gives her maximum exposure to to people who aren't Christians. And she does that by, you know, she's got the text above her desk, she's got a Bible open, T-shirt on dress down days, the kind of stuff. That's a slightly warped view, isn't it, of work as well. Just tell us what's good about that, what's wrong about that?
I think what's good about it is that they're going intentionally as a disciple.
Yes.
They're saying, actually, I'm a Christian here and I'm passionate about Jesus Christ and I want other people to
And that's
know
to be honoured.
There is nothing wrong with that, and that's a perfectly valid way of looking at work. But it's not just not the only one, but actually it's we've got to see it slightly more multi-layered. But actually, the question then is, am I sharing God's love through doing really good work? Am I spending so much time trying to do overt evangelism, actually I'm neglecting my work? And what impact is that having on my colleagues? I remember
they might end up being a poor witness.
Absolutely. And I remember this when I was at work, actually, when I was in working the bank, actually, that my focus was, you know, what opportunity could I have to share the gospel? And you realize
you were a banker, were you, Jules? I just to clarify.
But not for very long time either. But the point is, actually, and when I used to work for a box office as well. And actually, you know, you think, actually, am I doing good work here? Am I doing something which actually blesses not just the companies that enables other people to flourish, but am I doing something which honors my colleagues and the customers and people like that? Am I showing godly character by the way that I'm acting? Am I doing something which actually says there's something wrong here? What can I do about it? Am I shaping the culture by they're saying, actually, the way things are being done around here isn't necessarily the right way of doing, but actually I can, in my own small way, I can shift things. And if we see our ministry as disciples in that longer, bigger picture of actually shaping the world and preparing it for the new creation, God's consummation, God's fulfillment of all things, where God takes those things into his eternity, then I think actually we see the value of even the smallest things, which may not even be of any consequence, anybody will notice, that actually is significant.
And also, in terms of witness, we're in 1 Peter territory here, aren't we? Mm. You know, live such good lives.
Yeah.
That actually we have to believe, and I think experience bears out, that when you live a good life, when you work well and in an honourable way that blesses others, because you have this high view of work, there are opportunities to witness.
And I think we find this, actually, there are plenty of stories of people who, when they've had that renewed attitude of doing really good work that honours their colleagues, their customers and all those things, and actually sees their work as important in and of itself because of what value it can give to others and glorifies God in it. It provides opportunities. And I think it's living provocative lives.
Yeah,
and we use that word provocative in a very, we have to be quite sure how we're using that.
Yeah, so go on, say what you mean.
But not provocative as in terms of kind of doing it in such a way that causes outrage.
Yes. Not in its normal meaning.
No, absolutely. But provocative as in it causes a reaction of, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
It's giving a reason for the hope that you have. And this is the thing, actually, my work is, in and of itself, my work has value because God gives value to work, but also because my hope is not based on my work. If my work is all that there is, if my work is becomes an idol, But actually, my hope, my work fits within my hope. Actually, my hope as a human being is that I will spend eternity with Christ. Okay. But it doesn't mean that none of what I've ever done before that has ever had any value.
Okay. We haven't got long left. Could we talk about some practical things we could do to help people?
Yeah.
My sense is it's increasingly hard, in some professions at least, to be a Christian at work.
Mm.
Or people are feeling the burden of being a Christian at work. You know, do I have to take part in pride activities? You know, yeah. Almost whatever job you do, that seems to be an issue. There are certain professions where there are particular challenges, you know, for nursing, I mean, if you're working in certain wards, perhaps, and being asked to be involved in certain procedures. But leaving the specifics aside, what kinds of practical things can we do in church life to help people flourish in work?
I think recognizing that those things are real. Yeah. I think actually when we're preparing for our sermons, when we're preaching, is actually have that in our mind of, what are the kind of things that are going on in people's minds and hearts?
Right. So we've got to be in people's lives to work that. I think one of the challenges for preachers is they're just living in this sort of slightly odd world.
And I think
world.
Obviously if you're a full-time pastor, then actually it will be slightly, it'll be different if you're working, tent making, or you're working have a paid job outside of your pastoring. That you will have a slightly different understanding of these things. I mean, I remember when I was in kind of parish ministry, almost feeling, you know, why doesn't everybody not get the fact that, you know, what I'm getting at with this sermon series or this passage, realizing I spent however many hours on this and they haven't. They've been doing lots of other things. But my job is actually how do I apply God's word into their situation? That does mean knowing people, spending time with them, actually, and seeing...
Getting feedback, you know, asking people, how did that help you in your workplace? And if someone says not at all, then you need to hear that.
And making that connection, actually, what I'm preaching, how will this help this person? How will this help Brenda on Monday morning at work? And seeing, absolutely, how will that help them in their work to be a disciple?
Right.
Of Jesus Christ, how will that help shape their way that they see Christ at work through them in whatever they're being called to do? And I think so. It's being conscious of those kind of questions is helpful, and that does mean kind of getting to know people and spending some time.
There's never any substitute for that in pastoral ministries. We talked about that a lot on the podcast. Actually, it's really key.
Absolutely, and I think it's one of the things I found I was doing was. When you go and visit people, you want to ask people, what about their spiritual lives?
Yes. Yeah,
so how's your Bible reading? How's your prayer, etc.
Right, yep.
And the danger is that you think, I'm interested in their spiritual life, but that life.
Yes. Or spiritual elements of life. Absolutely. So, you know, who have you shared the gospel with at work?
Absolutely.
Rather than how's work?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, what are the challenges? What are the opportunities? Yeah. And how can you help people make that connection? Okay. And I think, praying about these things with people, listening to them, giving an opportunity, like this time tomorrow, giving an opportunity to other people in the church to hear that and say, actually, they're going through the same thing as I'm going through, or I never even realized that. Yeah. I never even realized that was a thing, and giving people an opportunity to hear from each other actually builds community, builds the fellowship of the church as well, and helps each other pray for one another. I think that's really key.
LICC do great work in this area. I know I benefited from some of it myself. Just outline some of the resources that would be available to us there that we could use as church leaders.
Yeah. We have a book called Imagine. Church, which is a kind of really kind of foundational book that helps. And that was based on the research that was done about 11 years ago now of what does it mean to kind of shape the culture of our church so that we take our whole lives.
Right.
Seriously, actually enable this kind of discipleship. And we also have a resource we use called kind of Frontline Sundays, which is a series of service outlines, which is a really good place actually for a whole congregation to have some teaching on work and how it, and some Bible teaching on how it works, and have a service. So work doesn't become like we're just going to do a sermon series and work, but actually it becomes part of the walking with of our.
There is a danger just doing a sermon series on work. You could just actually reinforce the misunderstandings.
Absolutely. And I think as well, we have some for church leaders. We have a monthly email which goes out, which enables them to give resources that they can hear what's going on just particularly for church leaders. We've actually just launched a church leaders Facebook group as well, which is great, and that's about enabling one another to learn from each other rather than just saying, actually, well, what am I doing here? But actually that creating that sense of community as well. I think it's easy to, as church leaders, to think you're alone. Actually, there are lots of other people going through the same questions and wanting to find the same kind of answers. So we have plenty of resources. They go to our website, they can find loads of resources.
We'll put the website link on the bottom of the show notes so people will be able to link through. Julian, thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you for inviting me.
Really stimulating talking to you, making me think about our own church and our ministry and how we conduct it and how important that is. So thank you so much for helping me and helping others. And this has been Independence, the FIC podcast. If you've enjoyed listening, please do like us and share the links. We'd appreciate that. And we look forward to connecting with you soon.